Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a Tuesday morning, Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024, 14 minutes past the hour, 32 degrees and light snow in the area. Hey, 32 degrees, that's much better than it's been in quite a while. In hour number one, we've been covering what happened at last night's city council meeting through sound clips and an interview we taped last night with Second Ward City Councilman Ayers Ratliff. And we do want to cover this from all sides. You heard what Ayers had to said. We read the statement that City Councilman Jason Schauber put out last night. And this morning we're joined by Councilman-at-Large Matt Pollack. Matt, thank you so much for joining us this morning so we can get all sides of what happened last night.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Matt,
I'm trying to figure out what all happened myself.
Well, it was a meeting that I think all would say would deteriorated at one point. And there are some points I want to cover here. But before we get into the specifics of last night's meeting, it was about 3 hours, as the previous meeting was. What would you consider the tenor last night? What was your takeaway as on the whole before we get into the specifics?
Well, it seemed to go all right there for a while. There were some parts going on that I thought were very, I don't want to say unprofessional, but it just seemed like they were confrontational to be confrontational. And in the 6 months I've been on council, I've seen that quite a bit where, you know, we're going to push, nag, beat up just to try and get things or get things said the way we want them said. If we get an answer we don't like, we just keep going back and asking the same question because we don't like that answer. I see what's going on in the city and I understand. And there's just, you know, I'm hearing the same information and the some of the responses that I'm seeing don't make sense. If you can follow me.
Well, that's why, and let's get into the specifics. There are several things that happened last night that I'm sure the citizens of Marion are interested in, and in Jason Schauber's statement, your name is brought up, so I think, you know, you should be, along with several others, so I think you should be allowed to respond to this. Now, this statement came out last night from Jason moments after the meeting happened, and if you're just tuning in this morning, this is, I'm going to tintype fashion what happened last night. And what happened 2 weeks ago that brought this part on last night, this section of the meeting on. Committees were set at the beginning of the year for city council. At the last city council meeting, Jason Schauber suggested some changes to those committees that he wanted to be on and Ayers Ratliff wanted to be on. Those were approved 2 weeks ago. Last night, because of a rule, and there is a rule that committees can be changed, those were changed. And that brought on some anger last night. And, well, I'll just read what Jason left the meeting. Let's put it that way. We had to take a 5-minute recess last night because the clerk had to go get her voting records. And at that point, Jason left, made some comments. And this is the statement he released after that. Now, this was sent to the law director and the clerk of council, but he did send this to me as well when I asked for a statement. So here it is. I resign from all committee assignments I may have. Never in my 13-plus years on council have committee assignments been reconsidered after a unanimous vote of council. It appears that there were sunshine law violations by Mr. Neff, Mrs. Lang, Mr. Pollack, Mr. Smith, Mr. Prater, and Mr. Barr. These individuals are on the record admitting to violating open meeting laws. I will not be part of any backroom deals that put a political party over doing what is best for the city. Tonight, the auditor admitted to a misappropriation of funds as well as coding the expense in a way that would hide the payment of an IRS penalty. Not one member of this council said anything. The evidence is clear what she did. Nothing but silence. We should have dealt with the auditor immediately, but this council just wanted to play political games by removing myself and Mr. Ratliff from Legislation and Codes Committee with no explanation. The majority of council members made it very clear tonight they have no clue how to legislate or what to do, what's best for the city of Marion. And that's Jason Schauber, 3rd Ward City Council meeting. Mr. Pollack, when you hear that, what do you think?
Well, he obviously didn't pay attention, because when the first committee change came up and they requested the change, I voted against it. I was more than willing to let him and Mr. Ratliff stay on legislative and codes. And when he accused me of violating the Sunshine Act, that was when I decided, okay, I'm going to go ahead and support with everybody else, because obviously he's not interested in anyone else's opinion other than his own. I mean, granted, we were at recess, but to decide not to come back, to storm off, that was kind of juvenile. To refuse to serve on any committees, I think, is juvenile. When I got on council, Mr. Schauber, as president pro tem, had 3 vacancies on committees. He didn't appoint me to a single one until I showed up to a committee meeting, and the committee with a vacancy only had 1 member show up. The only way that committee could meet was if somebody else was appointed. That was the point in time. Then President Pro Tem Schauber decided, okay, I'll appoint him because it fits a need now. Prior to that, I didn't have any committee assignments.
Now, there is a question that Councilman Ratliff asked. Councilman Schauber, I don't think he asked it directly, but he certainly implies it in this statement. And we never really did get an answer from anybody last night, so I'm going to ask it here because I think the citizens of Marion are curious. The committee assignments were set at the beginning of the year. Mr. Neff right now is doing that. Then Mr. Schauber 2 weeks ago asked those to be changed. Those were voted. Those were changed. At that time, nobody seemed to have a problem. And last night, because of this rule, which is perfectly legitimate to do, those were changed. What happened in that 2-week period? Why were the committee appointments changed after they were voted unanimously 2 weeks ago when Mr. Schauber asked for the change?
Well, I'm not sure what other people were thinking. I can't get into other people's heads. All the years I've been involved in politics, and I mean, I started way back in 2000. I've never seen members of council request to change committee assignments that were made by the president pro tem. It's always been a tradition that's the person that is going to be, you know, our chosen leader, and they make that decision. That being said, I think a lot of the newer members were just kind of shocked that, oh, we can do that. Okay. And once the decision was made, part of the reason they have the rule to reconsider is so that when you leave, you can, you know, if you change your mind, don't like what happened, don't understand what happened, you can go back and effectively make a change so that you are voting your conscience and what you think should happen.
So at this point, was there a reason that Mr. Schauber and Mr. Ratliff were not wanted on this committee, legislative and codes?
I don't think it's an issue of not wanted. Like I said, I voted to leave them where they were. I think other people thought they could be more helpful. I mean, I understand that, you know, Mr. Schauber said he could personally go through the last 20 years of ordinances that have not been updated, and he could take care of that. While that sounds like a great cost-saving effort, I'm a little concerned that, you know, one of the members of council wants to take on that task. I know why the clerk hasn't done it, because she walked into a 18-year mess where these things were not updated. And my question is, 18 years ago, where was the council saying, hey, this has got to be done. Why isn't this done? Why was that allowed to pile up?
And I'm just trying to remember, because I was at that meeting 2 weeks ago. I think it was looked at when COVID was going on, or prior to COVID, in regard to doing something, and then because of COVID, it couldn't be done. I think that was said when this was brought up, and I think that's the reason Jason gave for wanting to go to that committee, if I remember right.
Right, and in the interim 3 years, when COVID was over with, where was the situation at that kept him from doing that?
That would be a good question for him, and I guess we will find out as we go down the way. But this is where the whole accusation, which Mr. Ratliff made in the meeting last night, and Mr. Schauber makes in the statement here, that sunshine laws were violated. And you're named in this, along with Mr. Neff, Mrs. Lang, Mr. Smith, Mr. Prater, and Mr. Barr. Do you guys get together and discuss these things away from council?
No.
So they've, just to clear all this up, because that accusation was made three times last night, this list...
It's been made more than once. When I asked Mr. Schauber and Mr. Ratliff what committees they would prefer to serve on early on, Mr. Schauber handed me a blank sheet and said, oh, you're violating the Sunshine Act. I'm not going to be a part of that. Mr. Ratliff gave me a couple of committee assignments, which I took back to a group of people. I think I gave them to Mary Stoneburner to look at and kind of help form committees. The way the Sunshine Act reads, you know, you can't violate an act as an elected official until you're sworn in. Did the council elect people meet prior to being sworn in? Yes. Have they met since they've been sworn in? Only in council chambers. Why? Because you can't meet in a large group like that, especially to discuss other things.
So I guess maybe this is the piece we're missing here, because the new council came in January 1st. The committee meetings were changed or asked to be changed by Mr. Schauber, and I believe the date of that was January the 8th. And that was voted on and approved then. So between January the 8th and January the 22nd, when that was reevaluated, this group never got together and discussed this. This was the decision of one person?
I can't say that for sure. I just know that there was no group sit down that I know of.
You were not a part of it.
No. And I don't believe the rest of them got together and sat down and said, we're going to do this. There may have been a phone call between an individual and an individual, and then someone else called an individual. And that's not violating the Sunshine Act.
I think overall, the accusation, which I'm sure you're aware of, certainly by Ayers Ratliff, is that he's the lone Democrat. You guys don't like Jason Schauber because he turned on Robert Landon. So you guys have the majority, the Republican Party, so you're going to make it difficult on them. That's the accusation. I believe even Ayers said that in the interview last night. What do you say to that accusation?
I find it kind of laughable to a degree. He said, I've been involved for years in politics, and I've always been able to try and get along with everybody. You know, if a phone call is violating the Sunshine Act, I've had conversations with Jason over issues. He asked me about seconding the pay raises for council last year. So if that's a violation of the Sunshine Act, then I guess we're both guilty at that.
So, but just basically, on the record here, there is no animosity toward Ayers or Jason to punish them for things they have done or being of a different political party. And this group, as far as you know, did not meet between January the 8th and January the 22nd.
To the best of my knowledge, other than in council chambers, this group has never met since January 1st in any kind of a private meeting.
And is there animosity toward Mr. Schauber or Mr. Ratliff?
I don't believe there was up until last night. I'm not going to lie. I've been accused of some things that I'm not guilty of. And so, yeah, I'm a little sore about that. I found the tirade unprofessional across the board. I have sat in meetings and I have lost votes. I have seconded things and or made motions and watched them die because the council didn't want to act. They didn't want to do anything. And it's disheartening, but I didn't storm out. I didn't have a hissy fit. I said, okay, let's move on. Let's get to the next issue because we're not going to accomplish anything. Because 6 months on council, I don't hear a lot of solutions out of these guys. I don't hear a lot of suggestions other than accusations and pounding and beating on people. I understand why the auditor wouldn't want to answer. I mean, if I'm being barraged with questions that I don't have the information in front of me for, and they know I don't have it with me, I wasn't expecting to answer some of this stuff. Some of these questions come out of left field. I mean, if we're going to be courteous about it, we could call and say, hey, I'm going to ask this, this, and this at council. We don't do that. I mean, even at the meeting on the 8th, Mr. Ratliff apparently knew that somehow we were going to try and, you know, proceed with, you know, the mayor's desire to get, you know, the budget manager and the special projects manager positions pushed forward. And so him and the law director have a pre-prepared packet to hand out to let us know that we can't do that because he is in the super minority. I mean, tell me that wasn't a setup. And then he turns around this meeting and decides he's going to go ahead and vote to suspend the rules on one of those because now he likes it. What changed between January 8th and the 22nd that he decided that he could go ahead and suspend the rules and move this forward? I mean, he wants to know why everyone else changed their mind. Why did he change his mind?
Well, it's interesting because we have certainly now heard why Mr. Schauber and Mr. Ratliff feel this committee change went on. In regard to them, why do you think they were so angry last night, and why are they acting in the way you just described? What do you think this is all about?
I think it's simply they're not getting their way. Ayers kept yelling last night, learn to legislate, learn to legislate. It's a new council. It's 3 weeks in. Of course they're going to still learn to legislate. They didn't walk in here perfect. And it bothers me that they think that the citizens of Marion are wrong because they elected people who want things that these guys don't want. It seems like they've been in the majority for so long, they don't know how to be in the minority.
Are there people, because this has been an accusation by several people, and I think you've said that earlier, are there people in the Republican Party, maybe not necessarily the council members who are elected right now, who are not favorable to Jason Schauber and Ayers Ratliff and do try to stop their progress in what they're doing?
There probably are. But as it stands, there's none of them on council. There are people in the Republican Party who want to stop me. I've been involved for over 20 years. You don't get involved in politics without making people mad.
Well, And a point I want to make last night, because this is something that Jason brought up and Ayers brought up as well, this issue with the auditor last night, because this is an ongoing issue in the city and people are very interested in this. And just again, for people who weren't there last night, what happened was this was brought up by Ayers Ratliff. The auditor, now this is from Jason's statement, so take it for why I don't have the transcript of this. The auditor admitted to a misappropriation of funds as well as coding an expense in a way that would hide the payment of an IRS penalty. No one member of this council said anything. The evidence is clear what she did, nothing but silence. We should have dealt with this immediately. And I believe she did admit this in council last night. And she said there was no malicious intent involved. But in the interview I did with Mr. Ratliff when it was over, he said he couldn't understand how there couldn't be malicious intent, knowing what you were doing, and that this could be criminal, and he believes that law enforcement should look into this. What did you make of that part of the meeting last night?
Well, I find it odd that when it came to his super minority, papers were prepared to hand out to counsel. This is him making an accusation against the auditor, yet he didn't have time to prepare and hand out a packet to show me something. I'm not the kind of person who just takes someone's word for it. I want to see it. And I'm not going to sit there and ask a bunch of questions unless I have something in front of me that explains what I'm looking at and what I can ask. Because it is just that. And I've seen this for 6 months. He's holding a paper in his hand. He's saying, this is this way, this is this way, this is this way. But, I mean, it's just his information. He's not handing that out. He's not sharing it with people. What does he expect me to do? Just take his word for it?
At this point, because we've had a long series here with the auditor, even on in your tenure on council, and, you know, just to catch people up, Mayor Schertzer, members of council, certain members of council, Mr. Rollins, I believe Mr. Ratliff was on the record at that time, asking for her resignation. She did not resign. Then she said she was going to resign on January 5th. January 4th came. She did not resign. She rescinded. Vote of no confidence was taken in the auditor on January 8th, third reading of that. It did pass. But at this point, nothing has been done. She says she will not resign. Last night we had this bit of business come up in regard to coding something in a way that shouldn't have been coded. Should Miranda McGinnis resign at this point, or do you think she should be given time to see what's going on? We heard the guy from Veritas last night. What's your whole take on the auditor's office?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I'm concerned. I don't like the way council has gone about this. It's been very confrontational. I'm not sure about the coding issue. What I am sure of is that as appropriations came up to us towards the end of the year with staff that had to be paid, benefits that had to be paid, it was like pulling teeth to get council to approve those. I mean, the city has obligations, things we have to pay. And the council, at the end of the year last year, and I'll be point blank with it, were derelict in their duties by not passing those kind of things in order to make sure the bills were paid. And they can argue whatever they want. I understand there's a problem in the system. And I keep hearing the same thing from Veritas and from the auditor's office, and the one thing that keeps sticking in my head is that there was a sudden change. And it seems to be a system error, but nobody wants to say a system error. If there's a problem with the computer, we need to figure that out. But we're not admitting there's a problem with the computer. It has to be the staff. I don't know how many people have changed in that office. What I am seeing is that there apparently was not enough people in that office trained to do the work when Kelly Carr and her administrative staff left 4 years ago. If you take the top management out of an office, and the office can't run, that's a problem. And it's one that we need to look at and fix. But we're not getting into that discussion because, you know, we're going to argue half a dozen other things. We want to nitpick on everything. We can't get business done because we want to stop and argue instead of trying to get something fixed. At the last finance committee meeting, arguing this method over accrual and cash payments, a decision needed to be made. Nobody seemed to want to make a decision. And my comment was, okay, we need a decision at the next meeting, or we're going to legislate this. Because something has to be done. We've got to stop spinning our wheels and arguing and fighting and bickering. And it's juvenile to a point. I don't get mad and storm out of a meeting. I don't get mad and throw a fit.
Well, when this comes down to Miranda McGinnis, because she faced some heavy fire last night in that meeting and has in previous meetings, do you think it's been personal toward her? Do you think she should be given more time? As you said, maybe the help's not there. You said council had been derelict in some duty last year at the end of the year. What do you think when it comes to Miranda in this position?
I've got to be honest, I'm not sure. I know, Robert Landon had the office for almost 2 years, and there were issues that happened. I'm not sure what they all are. Miranda has had some of the same issues, but she's also dealing with what was inherited when she took the office over. I have listened in the committee meetings, and it seems like at one point Veritas wasn't following, the directions from the auditor of state. It seems like the attorneys fighting the IRS stuff wasn't following what we wanted. It's sad because we've got so many cooks in the kitchen. Nobody seems to be watching the stove and things are burning.
An interesting point just in the idea of giving both sides here. I do believe, and somebody can check me on this, I do believe that when the Carr administration ended, because that was an election when Robert Landon was voted in, I believe Robert Landon did fire a good portion of that staff. I don't know what the portion was, but just I do believe that did happen, and brought in his own staff. So, but regardless, do you think she should resign at this point?
I guess my better question is, I don't know why she hasn't resigned. I don't know how you could put up with this and not throw your hands up and walk away and say, I'm done. What I do know is that Mayor Schertzer vetoing a pay raise for the auditor has handicapped us to getting somebody who can do the job if she leaves. I don't believe we're going to find a qualified auditor or anybody else for that matter to take that job at that pay raise.
Now, a lot of people, when the pay raise conversation was going down, felt that the city is having trouble making payroll at that time. Investments were being sold off to pay fines to the IRS. This is not a good time to have pay raises. And that is what Mayor Schertzer, I believe, explained in his veto. And he didn't feel that giving an office that had so much trouble over the last 4 years a pay raise was a good thing. What do you say to those objections?
I can't argue with the objections. I can't argue with his previous statement that this isn't the right time of year to do it, because it's something that the council has always done at this time of year. At the end of the year, right after the election, they usually go in and pass themselves pay raises on their way out. The difference between then and now is we don't have the same number of councilmen. We didn't have as many returning people. So, I mean, he passed the council and the treasurer, and I think that had more to do with the fact that when that came up, that pay raise was not taking effect until 2026.
When it comes to what has happened on council, as you said, you felt some things were juvenile last night. You mentioned Jason leaving during the recess, and I think you were referring to Ayers' comments during that particular time, and things that have happened. How is this going to proceed? Because it doesn't seem to be proceeding well. 2-3-hour meetings. I'm not sure what's getting done for people who are paying attention as you said, what is getting done. How does this council work together at this point with this much hostility after two meetings?
I guess the best way to put it is I think we all need to put on our big boy pants and work with people whether we like to or not. I've never had a problem sticking my hand out and shaking the hand of somebody I don't like. There's a job that needs to be done, and we need to get it done. But to decide that we are going to resign from committees, which I'm not sure the rules of council permit that. You know, we're kind of obligated to serve on those committees to get the public interest done. And I didn't particularly care for the committees I was on last year. I'm not a real fan of the ones I'm on this year. I'm not resigning those committees. I have an obligation. But it seems like, you know, that obligation is only in effect when you get what you want.
Declaring
that I'm not showing up to any committee meetings, or more importantly, I'm never going to call a committee meeting, that's just, it's juvenile.
So at this point, with the actions that the public got to see last night, the public got to hear this morning, on behalf of Mr. Schauber and Mr. Ratliff, in your opinion, what should happen here? What should they do? Should there be an apology? Should there be what should happen in regard to what happened last night when council meets again?
To be honest, I'm not sure. And I guess I kind of wonder that, you know, on January 8th, if there were no changes to the committees, if we'd have had the same situation. I'm not on the committees I want, so I'm not going to serve.
Well, and I think ultimately that, and I can't speak for either one of them, it seemed to be that is what brought on the anger, is that our uncomfortableness, let's say, on the 8th, when that was suggested, it was voted to happen. I believe voted unanimously, I believe. And what happened in 14 days? I think that's still, and I know you said that somebody didn't realize this rule was there, and that somebody maybe wanted to be on a different committee. But I think that is really what brought that on last night.
Well, I know Councilman Smith said he wanted to be on legislative codes. And I know he had discussed that with me during the campaign when he was campaigning for city council. There were some things he wanted to try and propose and move forward. And I don't think he realized at the time he could have objected. He could have spoken. I think some of these guys are still, you know, getting their public speaking feet on. Because it's difficult to speak in public. It's difficult to speak in public, especially against somebody who, you know, in 18 years has done it so frequently and so often and so well that you don't want to open your mouth and sound stupid. And I'm guilty of that, too. I sit there and I listen to what's going on. It's like, okay, I'm not going to argue with him. He's going to make me look like an idiot.
One other thing I want to bring up here, it was not brought up at the council meeting last night, but it's been a lot of talk here on the radio because of the interviews that we've done with the auditor and Jason Schauber in the past, and Ayers Ratliff at this point, and we haven't got to hear your take on it. When it's come to the whole auditor situation, and as you say, you're not sure why she hasn't resigned at this particular point, she was offered a job in the transit department. She decided not to take that in the end. I don't believe the transit has a director as of this point yet. That position was offered to her by Mayor-elect Bill Collins at that point. Should that have happened? Mayor Schertzer said that deal is getting shadier and shadier. Miranda McGinnis had said on the air that she felt threatened in those meetings. Her house was brought up. Her family was brought up with Bill Collins and Jason Schauber and the law director. And what do you make of that? Should that be looked into as to why that happened?
Well, as to the specifics of the meeting, I wasn't there, so I don't know. As to the meeting itself, I don't believe so. You know, it's one of those things where it seems like, you know, Mr. Schauber and Mr. Ratliff, they want their cake and they're going to eat it too. You want her out of office, and the mayor-elect tried to find a way to get her out of there so we could make a replacement. Now you're mad about the way he tried to do it. He's allowed to appoint these people. He's allowed to hire his directors. And by saying, oh, well, you can't hire this one. You know, he made her a job offer. Was it a better offer? I don't know what the transportation director makes. I have no clue. He made her a job offer. He is fully entitled and allowed to do that. If, you know, Mrs. McGinnis felt threatened or bullied in the meeting, I apologize if you felt that way. I worked with Bill Collins on his campaign to help him get elected mayor. And I know Bill, as a police officer, he's in the mindset, this is what we got to do, let's get it done. And it can sometimes be very direct. It can come off as aggressive. It's not intended that way by any shape or form. Bill's actually one of the nicest guys I've ever met in politics, and I'm not going to lie, I pray for him every night, because politics changes people. It makes them nasty sometimes because of all of the attacks. And all I've seen out of Bill is, I want to make a positive change for the city. I want to help the city. I want to move things forward. And when it comes to dealing with council, in the short time I've been on council, I don't see that. I see council as just holding things up to hold things up. You know, even in the last administration, Mayor Schertzer asked several times, you didn't do this. What's the plan? And council sat there mute. They had no answer for him. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was kind of pathetic when the mayor points and says, I understood more about city finances than some of the finance committee in the last term. That should absolutely never have been as a new person appointed to council. But that's on the record.
Well, and I want to come.
It scares the crap out of me.
Well, and I want to come back to this point here, and I just to end this thing with Bill and Miranda, just to clear it up here. I think what the problem is with that particular issue is that Bill has never said anything about it, and I think that the idea why that might not have been proper is, and I'm not saying Bill had the intention to be proper. We don't know improper, but I think. The problem is that he went to an elected official and was offered that person a position to leave a position. And Miranda said on the record, on the radio last Friday, that had that position not been offered, she would not have resigned. So it looks like there was coercion to get her to resign. And that's why people have a problem with that, I think.
I can see that perspective, but I can also see the other side of the coin where, you know, where's the other option? I mean, the thing people keep forgetting is nobody ran against her, and there was more than enough opportunity. In the last council, Mr. Garrison kept commenting that Mr. Ratliff ought to be the city auditor. He absolutely had the chance to run for that office. Nobody ran against her. Nobody wanted it.
Well, and that's also a question. She did run unopposed. You are exactly right about that. And that is a big question in the long term. I, you know, it's very interesting where we are right now, because you've described some very interesting points here. And on the whole, if somebody would have come to a council meeting, one of these three-hour council meetings, any of the last two, how do you think they would have left feeling about how council is running and the city of Marion is running?
I think they might have been embarrassed.
What's the quickest way to fix this at this point? Because clearly, maybe they won't be there next Monday, but there are some hurt feelings or angry feelings, I'm not sure which they are at this point, on a lot of people's behalf this morning?
I'm going to say they're hurt feelings. I mean, I'm not angry. I am offended at being accused of, you know, having meetings that weren't had. I'm going to go about doing the job that I was elected to do. I would hope that when calmer heads start to form, some people will kind of scale back and say, okay, this is what's going on. I got to make the best of it. I got to do what I can do to help. I'm here for a purpose, and I'm going to try and, you know, help make this city better.
Is there a Republican-Democrat divide in Marion right now? Because when you look, I know it hasn't always been voting down party lines. I won't say that that's the case. But recently, and again, you did vote against it the first time it came around last night to change the committees. But it looks that way to a lot of people, that you have Jason and Ayers voting one way and the rest voting another on certain issues. Not all, but certain issues. Is there a divide between the parties?
Well, Jason's a Republican, so I'm not sure there's a divide.
I think the rep, though, there is that he ticked off the Republican Party, so they're not going to vote with him.
I think the divide is more along the lines of senior council people and junior council people. Now, we mentioned bullying earlier with the auditor's office, and I'm wondering if some of the newer members of council aren't feeling bullied by Mr. Ratliff and Mr. Schauber. I mean, Mr. Ratliff kept saying it last night, learn to legislate, learn to legislate, learn to legislate. Well, every time he said that, because a motion wasn't in the right order or we weren't doing something right, he never attempted to correct anybody and say, hey, this is what we have to do next. No, he got angry. He got loud. Learn to legislate. Learn to legislate. I mean, I was kind of offended. I mean, I wasn't making those motions, but I'm listening to this and it's like, okay, you said you wanted to cross the lines. You wanted to have a cohesive council. You wanted to work together. Yet, you know, somebody makes a mistake and you're slapping them in the face. And they're supposed to turn around and smile at you and say, what, thank you? You get more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. And I think last night the two of them proved that, you know, whatever is going on, they're not willing to work with anybody but themselves.
What do you believe is going on?
I believe that, you know, after the January 8th meeting, people went home, they looked at the committee assignments, they thought about what they wanted to do, and decided that, you know, individually, that, you know, somebody decided a change needed to be made. And they probably called someone and said, hey, what do you think about this? Okay. One-on-one conversation. That's not a violation of the Sunshine Law. Somebody else called somebody else, you're still not violating the Sunshine Law. As long as five of us didn't sit down in the same room or get on a phone call and say, this is what we're doing, there's no violation of the Sunshine Law. It seems to me that people just started calling each other and asking them what they thought. As the first council meeting, I can tell you what, after my first council meeting, that's exactly what I did. I called a couple of the other members of council individually and said, hey, did I see what I thought I saw? What happened here? I asked questions, and I think these guys called each other. They asked questions. I know I spoke to Thaddeus Smith after that council meeting and asked, you know, did I understand this correctly? What happened with this? Is this what I thought happened? You're going to get that. New people are going to communicate with each other.
You know, Mr. Pollack, I do have a question because, I mean, committees are not made up of one person. And
no.
if Mr. Smith, Thaddeus Smith, did want to be on that particular committee People certainly knew that Mr. Schauber wanted to be on that committee. He gave a speech as to why he wanted to be on that committee on January the 8th and brought up the vote that changed that committee. Why not have somebody else go off that committee other than Jason? Have one of if Thaddeus wanted to be on it and Jason clearly wanted to be on it, why did he have to be the one who went? Maybe
I can't honestly answer that. Something happened, something was said, something could have been said in the committee meetings, you know, last week.
And I think
somebody else.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was about to say somebody just, you know, said, "Hey, I really think, you know, we ought to do it this way." They did, you know, someone decided to change their mind, and he talked to somebody else and convinced them.
Do you think there's any chance the next council meeting after last night and the way it was left will run smooth in any way? Is it just going to be forgotten, not brought up, and let's go on with how we've been doing things?
I don't think so. I think the next meeting is probably going to be just as long. I think most of the conversations you're going to see may be coming from Mr. Ratliff and Mr. Schauber. I think, and I could be wrong, and maybe they'll listen to this and go, we'll prove him wrong and we're not gonna. I just think there's going to be, you know, as much roadblock, hindrance, and hold everything up as much as we can. Because when you've got hurt feelings like this and you decide you're not going to get over it and try and move on, that's what you do. You tie things up.
A final question. Do you believe that they are trying, because the question has been brought up about the minority and pushing things off when it came to Mayor Bill Collins, new Mayor Bill Collins. Do you think they're trying to handicap the Collins administration? Is that what they're trying to hold up? Or are they trying to hold up council or both? What when you say hold up, what exactly are you referring to?
When I say hold up, I'm talking to anything that comes through council. I think the hold up is going to be we're going to have three readings on everything. We're not going to have any emergency clauses because, as Mr. Ratliff pointed out, he's the super minority, is the only Democrat on council, and if he votes against suspending the rules, we're not going to do that. Even though I've looked in the council rules and I've looked through Robert's Rules of Order, and I've seen nothing that describes a Democrat as being able to be a minority like that. Mr. Schauber said he got the same consideration. I don't remember any time in the last 20 years where Jason Schauber was the lone Republican on city council. I could be wrong, but I don't remember that. So I don't know where this rule came from, how it was decided upon. I've looked at Robert's Rules of Order. It discusses allowing the minority to be heard and not cutting them off from debate. So when you've had a chance to speak, as all council members have, and then you go to suspend the rules and you decide we're not going to do this because you want to keep talking about it, well, keep talking about it. But to say that, well, we can't suspend the rules because you don't have anything to say right now, it is what it is. It's holding things up, you know. And that particular issue, which he voted against the last time and used that rule to keep us from advancing the budget director's position and the special projects manager, in turn agreed to suspend the rules to pass the budget manager this time.
You know,
it seems to me that if they don't get their way, this is what we're going to go with. You know, the mayor said he was going to leave Mr. Bodine in the service director's office, and never was his work with CANDU mentioned while he was sitting there as service director. It was all special projects. Now he's not going to be in special projects, and Mr. Ratliff brings it up, well, I still have a problem with him doing this. Why didn't he have a problem with it when he was appointed service director?
With a minute left, and this is a very interesting conversation, I hope you come back, because I think we do need to hear from all sides, and I think that's very important. But that's an interesting point in something that did happen last night. The special projects director, which is a position Bill Collins did want, went by the wayside last night at Bill Collins' own hand. He said, vote no on this. for the reasons you just explained about Mr. Bodine. Do you know why this happened? There was a lot of question about that last night. This was a position Bill Collins wanted, said was needed, and now all of a sudden it is gone.
Well, it's not gone. It went to a third reading.
But he said last night he didn't see the need to move forward with it at this time.
Well, he can always veto it because council may actually approve it. But, you know, we'll find that out on the 5th of February.
Do you think council will approve it?
I got to be honest, I don't know. I hate to say it. There's a part of me that thinks they might, just out of spite after the goings on last night. I would hope that's not the reason for it. I think the position is needed. I think, you know, we monkeyed around with it for almost 3 months. It came before us right after the general election last year. So we had it in November. It's going to be February before it gets in. And, you know, how can you not say we're holding things up?
It's an interesting time. And like I said, I'm so glad you came on this morning, because I do believe the more voices we hear, the more collective we will find what's going on and maybe figure out as we go down the road to fix these problems. And I do hope at some point that Bill Collins does come on, because, 22 years mayors have come on, and we hope he comes on because he will get the same interview that you got, or Ayers got, or Jason got, or Miranda got. So we hope this all happens. And Mr. Pollack, I do hope you come back with us in the future.
I'll be more than happy to if my boss gives me the time.
I know there's always a hang up here and there. Thank you, Mr. Pollack.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Matt Pollack, City Councilman at Large. There you go. All right, we're done for the day. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.